Lord, that prophet, he introduced us, Lord, to the living God, to the creator of the heavens and earth. Lord, the one who was revealing himself through shadows and types all down through the Old Testament, Lord, and coming up in the New Testament, Lord, and Lord, coming down to this last day. Lord, will you come yourself? Lord, will you brought and manifested yourself in your bride. Lord, we just thank you to be a part of that. We thank you, Lord, that we can recognize that in one another. Lord, we just ask that you would bless the furtherance of this service, Lord. Let the sweetness of your spirit guide us, Lord, in this great revelation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see each one. It's good to see Sister Rebecca and Cameron. And we just thank God for the opportunity that we have. And now I sent the quotes out. I'm sorry, I'm always just to the last minute doing that. But Brother Michael will send them out, and you'll have them in a minute. But it just somehow or another, I'm just always right down to the very last minute. And so, but I want to pick back up now. This is part 49, and I'm trying to come to a conclusion on the covenant and move on to something else. And so I'm thinking just a few more services, and I'm going to have it. But I went tonight. I went back and pulled some of those quotes where Brother Branham is talking about where it started at, and where it started at was with Adam. Of course, that he made a covenant with Adam, and he placed him there, and he told him, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you obey this, then you'll continue on just like you are right now. You'll just go right on. There'll never be a problem. But Adam wasn't able to keep the word. And so the fall came, and when I say Adam wasn't able to keep the word, maybe that's not even the right wording. We know that Eve caused the fall. So let me place it right there where God intended for it to be, because that's where it happened. We know Adam wasn't deceived. We know that he couldn't be deceived. He was made in the image of God. And so what God did was take a lesser part, just took a part of Adam. It was still Adam. I like to say it that way because that the husband and the wife, they're one. And so Adam and Eve, they were one. She was a part of him. And the bride is a part of him. And so we're just the weaker part of him. And so, but we thank God for that. So the fall came, it had to come, and we're very aware of that. And we know that he came right on down. Then, there was the lesser covenants that came. Right there, after this fall, there was, Brother Branham said, a double covenant. He brought it out in marriage and divorce. He said there was a covenant to the man. There was a covenant to the woman. And so those things, in God's word, they were coming right down. Then in Noah's time, he made a covenant. And he made a covenant with the earth. That covenant with the earth was that I'll never destroy the world again by water. And so Brother Branham said that covenant wasn't with Noah, that was with the earth, that he would never do it again. But Noah was the beneficiary of that by obeying the word and by and doing what God required. He went over. And so then when it come down to Adam, then it came down to the unconditional covenant. And so that's why for us today, that same covenant is still here today. There's no, Brother Branham, one place he called it that an eternal covenant. It was unconditional. And Adam was considered election. Brother Branham typed each one of those patriarchs, Abraham was election, where Joseph was perfection. And so it come down to him, and there was, he didn't have to do anything. And so when it comes down to the bride, it's at the same place. And that's why that was such a perfect type. And so we know, come through Moses, come through the law, came right on down into through the prophets, and there was many things that God spoke and was introduced along the way. And then it came down, John the Baptist came on the scene. He began to preach a baptism and through repentance. And so then that had to be changed. Even when they began that baptism in Acts chapter 19, it wouldn't work anymore. Paul coming through the upper coast there, he was asking the people if they have received the Holy Ghost. They had never heard of a Holy Ghost. They didn't know anything about it. And so he asked them, how was you baptized? And so they came back and they said, we were baptized unto John. And he said, well, then that was just to repentance. He said, now he's come. And so they were baptized again. So it came into a greater part of the revelation. And so then that began from there. And, you know, Paul laid it in order there. Then immediately there began to be a falling away. And so Brother Branham said at 325 A.D., a false baptism was introduced. And so when that false baptism was introduced, it went into the Dark Ages. There they were. When they began to come out of the Dark Ages, they came out of the Dark Ages. Remember, Paul delivered to them the revelation which was in part, which was a shadow. They were as looking through a glass darkly. That's the revelation they had. And that's why it's interesting when people today are trying to take this message and mimic everything that Paul had. They're trying to say we can only say what Paul preached. That doesn't even make sense. They're not really realizing the magnitude of what actually happened back there and what actually happened in this day. So what they had was in part. And then that thing that they had in part, immediately they begin to lose it. They begin to lose it. And so that by the days of Luther, from 325, when the Trinity doctrine was introduced, when God began, that word began to come forth once again. And Brother Branham said, the word began to resurrect. In Luther's time, Brother Branham said he was preaching and baptizing in a Trinitarian doctrine, in a Trinitarian idea. And so that should tell us something. That should tell us that baptism that they had, although it was good, it was a type that was given to them at Pentecost there, and that what they were doing in that day, that was all fine. But Paul made them aware at that time that it did not save them. Is that right? He said, that it doesn't save you. He made it clear, that doesn't save you. And then they lost the real revelation of what it really was. And so by Luther's time, they were baptizing a false baptism. So were they saved? Absolutely, the elect of that day was saved. They were going on what they had. And so it wasn't the water that was going to save them or not save them. And so it continued on. It continued on like that until the seventh age. And in the seventh age, the revelation was returned back to the church that it was not sprinkling. It wasn't, it was full immersion in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what was delivered on the day of Pentecost. And even though it started there and it ended there, all in between was not pure. All in between was not the pure revelation of what it was. And so it speaks volumes about water baptism. And I guess I have that on my mind because my daughter, we've been reading the Church Ages book in our devotion, and my daughter's asked me the question because in their mind, as a child, and we're reading, especially in the Church Ages book there, he's talking about water baptism. They're saying that we want to get baptized, or should we? And so I've tried to explain it to them. So they asked me the question, is it wrong? Is it wrong to baptize? And that's a hard question. That's a hard question, Brother Gumba. It's a hard question to say, is it wrong? And so I when I tried to explain it, I said, for me, I said, I have a revelation that everything about the church ages is finished. Amen. And it's all done. It's all over. Redemption's finished. We've come to the reality, the revelation, that what God is doing, He had done it before the foundation of the world. And when I looked at the baptism from where it started at, you know, they didn't baptize in the Old Testament. John began baptizing in water, and he did it unto repentance. And that wouldn't come over into Paul's day. They had to get baptized again because there was another baptism. And so then in the church ages, God was, Brother Branham said one place, he said, God winked. He winked at their ignorance. There were sometimes our children, we see them, they're doing wrong, but we wink at it. We let them go by because it's just, it's a thing. And maybe they don't know no better. So that being said, I said, it would be hard for me. I said, if I went, I said, for my conscience, I went and I got baptized. I said, I believe it would be wrong. I believe it would be wrong because I have a revelation that that's all finished. It's all over. I said, for somebody who don't have that revelation, you can't say, I mean, they're already an unbeliever. So that's just like I was thinking about when Brother Goomba was bringing on marriage and divorce. Rather, a person who doesn't have any revelation, they're not a Christian, rather they get married 10 times, it's all the same thing. They don't have a revelation. They don't know God. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know anything about it. So whether they marry one time or they marry 10 times or they marry 100 times, it was wrong the first time. It's wrong the last time. And so it's got to come down to the revelation to the person. And so I've tried to just teach them the age that we're in. The age that we're in is not that age. The time that the covenant that we're under is not that covenant. It's not that covenant. And so I'm praying for revelation. I'm praying for revelation for my children, for the bride, all of the bride. And I believe that that's what we're walking under. And that's what we're depending on every day. That's what we're depending on every day. So I want to read out of this message, Joseph meeting his brethren. And Brother Adam's talking about the Adam covenant. He's talking about the Abraham covenant. He's talking about the Noah covenant. And he kind of mixes it up. And I let some other things come in here with it. And so I'm going to begin at paragraph 46. They had signs and wonders with them. Now, if God only respects the fundamental, and we know the word fundamental means, it just means the basics. It means people coming together on the basic idea of Christianity or whatever, you know, every religion, every denomination, they have the same thing. They have because Brother Branham talked about the Jack Mormon. He said, and Brother Branham didn't know what it was. He said, well, what's a Jack Mormon? He said, well, I'm a Mormon. He said, I was raised a Mormon. He said, but I don't go to church and I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But by birth, just like a lot of your Catholics, by birth, they're Roman Catholic, whether they go to church and they obey or not. So he called that a Jack Mormon. And so so a lot of people that don't go to church, they don't have any conviction for anything. They still, if you talk to them, they'll say they believe God, they believe this, they believe that. They believe the fundamentals, that, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin birth and that he's the second person in the Godhead and those fundamental religious ideas that people have. Look at here. Moab, scripturally speaking, was just as fundamental as Israel was. The basics that they had of their revelation was the same. He had seven altars. That's what God required. Israel had seven altars. He had seven clean sacrifices. Israel had seven clean sacrifices. There's Cain and Abel again. See? There's Cain and Abel again. And they had the same. Everything they had was the same. He just described it out, right? The seven altars, the clean sacrifice, all of it. They had exactly the same thing. But there was something that had to be different. There was something that was different. Because he's calling this Cain and Abel. He's calling these two people doing exactly the same thing. So if the law said the sacrifice is to make seven altars and make seven clean sacrifices, and this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you do it this and this and this and this. And they're all doing it exactly the same thing. If they're going by that, then why is one of them being rejected? Why is one rejected if the altars are all the same, the sacrifices are all the same? Why is one group being rejected? He offered seven bullocks. He offered seven bullocks. He offered seven rams, speaking they believed that Christ would come. He offered seven rams, the same thing, just as fundamental could be. Cain, he built his altar. Abel built his altar. And Cain offered a sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice. Now we know that their sacrifices were different, but they both came to worship. They both sacrificed. See, Abel worshiped, Cain worshiped. But God vindicated and proved that Abel was his choice. So we know that for Cain and Abel, that Abel was given a revelation of what he was supposed to do. But Brother Branham is showing that with Moab and Israel, theirs was basically the same thing. Their sacrifice was basically the same thing. But his wording here is, we know a lot of times when he's talking about it, he's saying that Abel had a revelation. Abel knew what God wanted done. And that's right. But I like the way he worded it here, because this goes all the way through the scripture. God proved here that Israel was his choice. That's what it was. That was the bottom line. Abel was his choice. And God had his choice all the way through in every age. God had chose before the foundation of the world who he was going to accept when they were being manifested on the earth. Amen. He already had it. He already knew. Before you were born, he knew whether he was going to accept you or reject you. And he knew why. See? God proved here that Israel was his choice. I was just reading earlier today when Brother Branham was talking about making that choice, that God was vindicating his choice. God was vindicating who he had chosen and who that he was with. And he said, people think that they have chosen God. People think that they have this great leading, they have this great, I'm trying to say it from a natural standpoint, but that they came to God, that they, in their mind and in their life, they had this burden to come to God. And Brother Branham said, you didn't. Right. You didn't decide to come to God. You didn't want to come to God. God drawed you. God chose you. He said, people say, I chose God. I did this. I did this. I did. Brother Branham said, you did not. Right. He said, God chose you. Amen. God made you come to him. Right. God put it in you and like a magnet and steel. When that magnet is turned on, the steel don't have any say-so. It just, there's a pull. There's a pull there. And that's what God does. You can be going through your life and you think everything's fine and you think you're doing what you want and you're headed, you have your goals in life and you're going that way. And then one day there's this magnet turns on and all of a sudden it starts affecting you and you can't explain it at first, but you feel something and you know something's going on. And all of a sudden you start thinking about these things that you're hearing. Somebody's telling you that there was a prophet. Somebody's telling you there's a message. Somebody's telling you that God did the supernatural, and that God come down and he took the book and he revealed the seals. Those things, it's just a magnet and it starts drawing you. And the more you hear it, the more that it draws you to it. And your mind might be saying, no, this is just, you go online and you look on the internet and you see all of the negative about this man. That's the first thing that's going to come up when you go to the internet. All this negative. Oh, he was a false prophet. He was this, he was that. And your mind's saying, oh, I got to get away from this. That magnet is pulling you. And that magnet is greater than what your carnal mind is telling you. Your carnal mind is telling you, no, this is another one of those crazies. And the magnet's pulling you that way all the time. And you can't help it. You have no control. Because God chose you. And he's vindicating you. And when he brings you to the revelation, and he come and you come and you begin to worship, he vindicates that he chose you. He vindicates that your worship is the right worship. God vindicates that in your life, that you know it and that you're settled. You find that peace. You might go through battles. You might go through struggles. You might go through a lot of things. But God is going to bring you to that place. He's going to prove to you that he's going to vindicate that your worship is accepted by him. He made the bride that way. He made her that she knows what he wants done with the word. He reveals that to her. For Israel had a supernatural in their camp. See, that's the difference right there. I want that to go home. That's the difference. Let's back up and read that whole sentence there now. God proved here that Israel was his choice, for Israel had a supernatural in their camp. That's right. They had the supernatural. Did they manufacture that? No, they didn't. God put it there. Moab was doing the exact same thing that Israel was doing. The sacrifice, fundamentally, everything was the same. But the difference was that the pillar of fire was in the camp of Israel. There was no pillar of fire in the camp of Moab. So God was vindicating everything that the children of Israel were doing. And God was not vindicating anything that Moab was doing. Right. It didn't matter how much they copied that. It didn't matter how much they impersonated that. Amen. He said, the prophet said, that was Cain and Abel. Yes, sir. God vindicated his choice. Now listen to this. Although of all their mistakes, they had a pillar of fire following them. Did Israel have mistakes? Let's do it even this way. Do we still have mistakes? Do we still make mistakes? When we came to this revelation, when we came to the new birth, and we're still in this flesh, with Christ living in us, we still make mistakes. The unbelievers the same way. They might have joined a church, and their life has changed. And some people have real, genuine, they get sanctified. They get justified. In other words, they can quit smoking. They can quit running around. They can quit drinking. They can do a lot of things. Most of them don't, but some of them do. And when they do that, that's even more convincing to them that they have done the right thing. But here's the difference. Is the pillar of fire in the camp? Is God in them? Have they just been anointed? Have they just had a baptism? Have they just had the anointing of the Spirit upon them, upon their flesh, upon their spirit? Or have they truly, God himself, the being of God, come and live, incarnated himself in them? That's the difference. Christ in the camp. I'm going to read this before we move on. One more time, I'm going to read it. God vindicated, proved that Abel was his choice. God proved here that Israel was his choice. For Israel had a supernatural in their camp. Even though all of their mistakes, They had a pillar of fire following them. Praise be to God. Abraham, in all of his mistakes, he was God's prophet. The bride today, in all of her mistakes, the pillar of fire is in the camp. Brother Branham, in his mistakes, you think he didn't have any mistakes? He had mistakes. He said if anybody in this flesh is going to have mistakes. If we ever think that this, you're going to perfect the flesh, then you missed it. No, that perfection is the man who's living inside this flesh. And that's the thing we're yielding to. Every day we're trying to die some more. We're trying to yield some more. Give full preeminence. So none of this man is on display, and all of that man is on display. That's our goal. That's our desire in everything. But through all of our mistakes, and God lets us make them. God lets us make some mistakes. And you know what he does? When we make mistakes, he proves he's in the camp. He proves that you're his choice. You're still his choice. Do you think, you that have children, do you think there's ever a time that any mistake that your child makes, there's ever a time that that's not your child anymore? That you're going to write them off now? No, 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 no. No, you're going to prove that you're still the parent. You're going to prove that's still your choice. You're going to prove that you still love them. You're going to prove that you're still with them. God's proving it. He's vindicating it over and over and over. For they had an atonement for divine healing and practiced divine healing. Praise be to God. And I was reading on the group, or a brother posted that he was standing. He sounded like he was standing alone, because he was standing, believing miracles, believing healing, believing everything. And there was some comments going back and forth on it. And finally, a brother come and said, and I just made me smile. Another brother come and he said, "Is there anybody here that don't believe that?" I thought, that was a good answer. That was a good reply. Is there anybody in the bride who don't believe in healing and miracles and all of that? Of course we believe that. Of course we believe that. The only difference is we're not majoring on a minor. We're trying to major on the major. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to major on the major. And the minors are taking care of themselves. God is the healer. And we don't... A lot of times, you receive your healing, and you don't never say anything. You don't have to do anything. You just say, "Lord, I got this, I got this." And then you just keep walking, and after a little while, you realize it's not even there anymore. And you just thank him. And you just praise him. And that's wonderful. But there's something that's more wonderful to you. And that's when he's revealing this word to your heart. That's when you really have a hard time holding it back. That's when it just really, you want to talk about it. Look, they had the brass serpent. He didn't say brass serpent, a serpent. They had a smitten rock. See, they had signs and wonders in the camp. And when John come, he was supernatural. When Jesus come, he was supernatural. Now, that, you know, you can find places where he said John didn't do any miracles, John didn't do anything like that. But it was the supernatural. It still was the supernatural. He come out of the woods. He come out of the woods speaking with no education, with no clothing. No, he didn't have anything that the modern preachers were equipped with. And he come out of there with a revelation that the Messiah was on the ground. He hadn't seen him. He hadn't met him. He didn't know. He didn't have the ability and all of the scrolls and everything that the priest had. He didn't have all that out there in the woods. I mean, I certainly don't think he did. I can't find anywhere where he had all that, where he even had the education for it. But what he had was a revelation. And he didn't go around saying that, you know, the Messiah is going to come one day, and I think he could even be here. No, 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 no. He preached, he's here. There's one standing among you now who's you're not worthy to loose. I'm not worthy to loose his shoe latchet. No, he declared, he had a revelation that he is on the earth right now. Right now he's here. Jesus, it was supernatural. And the enemy on the fundamental side always persecuted the supernatural. Oh, that, isn't that something? Satan hates that. He hates that. And you know what? I don't think we think about it so much, but your whole life is the supernatural. You're believing a message that's supernatural. You got a supernatural God that's living inside of you. Your whole life is supernatural. And when you walk out every day, you go to work, you go to these other places, you're walking among the natural. The supernatural is walking among the natural. And you can't help, you don't have anything to do with it. It's on the inside. It's the thing that's moving you. It's the thing that's revealing itself to you. It's the thing that's giving you revelation. When he sent the Holy Ghost, when he come, he promised that he would lead you and guide you in all truth. And that's what he's doing. Amen. He's doing it. And it's only when we let this world and this carnal thing sometimes distract us and we get sidetracked and we forget the reality of what's really going on. Amen. And then when we get alone with him, he just quickens that thing and builds that fire back up a little bit. Watch them women in India and Kenya. I think they have a little pipe. They have a little pipe right there by where they're cooking. And they'll put as they're putting the sticks in there, and they'll take that little pipe and they'll blow in there. And that air coming out of the end of that pipe, and that those flames just take off. Just take off. Don't they have that in India, in Kenya? Yeah. In India, all the women have that little pipe, and they keep adding those sticks there. They want that fire hotter, just like here on the stove. You just take and turn it a little bit. She just takes that thing, and it just goes. It just goes. God can do that. Amen. He does do it in us. See. The enemy on the fundamental side always persecuted the supernatural. You see what he's trying to do today? The same thing. Blot out divine healing. Blot out these people. There's nothing to them. The dignitaries, the great people, blot it out. Brother, it's nothing but that vine twisting through Genesis coming into Revelation. Now, The carnal mind would read that and have no idea what he's saying. And I know that you know what he's saying. That's the beauty of this supernatural life. You can actually read the scripture, especially Revelations, where it's all in symbols. You can read it and you can understand what you're reading. You know what? This symbol means this, and this symbol means this, and this symbol means that. And you put all those symbols together and you know exactly what it's saying. You're reading right between the lines exactly what God was speaking to us in this day. And it hadn't been done all these 2,000 years now. Hadn't been done. Nobody knew. Nobody knew it. And now you know it. Now you know it because he turned on the light. Because it was time. It was time for it to come. I take my side with the holy rollers. Let it be whatever. I've never seen a holy roller. That's a name that the devil put on the church of God when it don't belong there. They're not holy rollers. They are sons and daughters of God, misunderstood by the world. That's the truth. I remember one time Brother John, some woman was giving him a hard time and fussing and carrying on. And he made a statement and just sounded, she was just really chewing him out. And he said, "She called me everything but a son of God." And that's what he was, son of God. He wasn't none of those other things, but he was a son of God. Amen. Satan's got all kinds of that stuff. See? Now, Joseph was loved of his father and hated of his brethren. Now, notice, perfect picture of the Lord Jesus. That's right. I want you to notice how his life just types. In the Old Testament, everything type now. Look back there and see the picture. There's a shadow, and you see what the positive is. And I want you to think now, these brothers, they were jealous because of the favor that God showed to Joseph. And you say, well, it was the father. Yeah, it was the father, but God also. God showed favor to Joseph. And God vindicated and proved that Joseph was his choice. And that Joseph was the one that he wanted to use to do these great things. And so they became jealous of that and they didn't like him because of it. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens even now. And that happened to our prophet. We can read the message and we can see where the churches come against him because they were jealous of the gift that he had. They couldn't keep it in its purity. If God had given them the gift, they would have sold it. They would have done all kinds of different things. They even tried to sell his gift. And so Brother Branham said they had fired, I don't know how many managers. They said there was different ones. They were selling the prayer cards. People would try to buy the prayer cards to get up to the front of the line. And so that's one reason why Brother Branham, sometimes you'll hear him on the prayer line. Instead of starting at number one, you'll start at 75. He'll say, we'll bring up 25. He said, take 75 to 100. See? And so you never knew. You never knew what it was going to be. Brother Branham was cutting off the devil. That's what he was doing. And so, but there was a lot of different things. There was those people that knew that they were going to, if the prophet was going to be there, that the people were coming because they knew that God was with him and that the healing was going to be there. They knew the gift. They knew the gift. And before, especially before the revelation came, they wanted to be around that gift. So they would broadcast, the prophet's going to be here. They might not have called him that, but William Branham's going to be here. The crowd comes and they say he wasn't able to come. And there was literally time, Brother Branham said, that he knew nothing about that meeting. Knew nothing about it. There was times that he was sitting there and they said he couldn't make it. And that's bold. It takes a bold devil to do something like that. To know that the prophet is sitting there behind you and you're telling the people that he wasn't able to come. That's, you know, they must have known the humility that prophet had. I mean, I think most of us would have just stood up and said, hey, guess what? I made it. I just made it. You didn't know I was here. I made it. The prophet just sat there. But that's how close his relationship was. He could hear him if he said, stand up. He could hear him if he said, sit down. He could hear him if he said, speak. He could hear him if he said, don't speak. He could hear it. Notice, Joseph being a type of Christ, a type of the church, a type of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's quite a life, isn't it? That your life is a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, guess what? The bride should be right there.
That's right.
She'd be right there. He was a prince of prosperity. Just as Christ is the prince of prosperity. Amen. Just as the church today. Think about that. Think about that. That's a beautiful type. But think about Joseph's whole life. Joseph's whole life was prosperity. For others. Think of it. That's what Christ was. His prosperity was for everybody else. Joseph's prosperity, he was in the pit. He was in the prison. He was a slave to Potiphar. But yet, everywhere he went, God blessed. Both the believer and the unbeliever.
Yes,
and from the moment that Joseph arrived, the blessings began. It was so noticeable that the people commented on it. They commented and they said that God is with this man. So much so, it didn't matter if he was in some rich man's house like Potiphar or if he was in the prison. God still blessed in such a way in Joseph's life that all the prison keepers, everybody there, they took note that God was with this man. God was vindicating that this is my choice. Not just at home with his brothers who were jealous of him, but then when they got rid of him and then he began to go, that went with him. That blessing went with him. It didn't stay there with them. There was a famine came for them. How perfect God is. His whole life, God was blessing, blessing, blessing. God was proving that this is my choice. This is my man. Oh my. Jesus was the Prince of Prosperity. Everywhere he went, there was a blessing. People, they were drawn to him. They were, if they had need, they come to him. He all they had to do was touch him. Just touch him. Just reach out and call his name. But think about this bride. And I think about that prophet because he was definitely in this Prince of Prosperity. The people were gathering to him, gathering to him. Why? Because God was with him. They knew God was with him. So much so that they leaned on him. Many of them, even I think one place Brother Branham talked about Billy Paul and other people, they wanted Brother Branham to speak everything for them. Every little thing that they had, they wanted. And one place Brother Branham talked about for Billy Paul, he said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. He said, you pray. You go ask God. He said, you got yourself in this. You ask God to help you. That's a hard thing to hear, but that's where we need to live. Yes, we want to pray for one another. Yes, we want to strengthen one another. Yes, we want to lift up one another. But we also want to be able to stand when nobody's around. When nobody's around, we want to be able to stand, walk with God, and know that God is with us. That is important. And I tell you, that there's one thing. If there's something, I mean, there's many things. You see things in other countries, but something I feel like they really lost in this country. And it was here back in the early 1900s. Brother Branham talked about how the people prayed and how they would pray all night and how they would have service all night and how they would fast. As the people would fast every week, they were fasting. They had certain days maybe they'd fast and they'd do those things. But for the children, too many homes today, they don't have something for the children. They don't have devotion for the children. And that means so much. It means so much. And I watch the children, especially from Kenya, because I'm familiar there. I'm sure it's many other countries are the same way. But these children, they can come. They don't need anybody. They don't need an adult. They can come right here and start singing and start praying and start worshiping the Lord and start reading the Word. And they can come right there together at their age. And it's just natural. It's not something that they're working up. It's not something they're trying to produce. They're just doing it. Amen. Because they've been raised that way. And that's it means so much. It means so much. Amen. Some people couldn't lift a hand outside of church. And some of them don't lift a hand in church anyways. But the only time they even can get into any kind of worship is if they're in a group of people. A son and a daughter of God don't need a group of people.
That's right.
They're worshiping all the time.
Yes, sir.
They have a relationship all the time.
Amen.
There's a conversation that's going on all the time. Everybody is a little different. They have their own way, but they have a relationship. They have something going on in their life that is with him all the time.
Amen.
You don't. The thing about it is, whether you speak or you don't speak, God can hear you. He can hear you. If he could hear Sarah, he can hear you. Notice again now that when he was born, his father loved him and made him a coat of many colors. See? Now there's only 7 perfect colors in all colors. So I think what he's saying is that all colors come from those 7 colors. There's 3. We know there's 3 primary colors that I think actually all colors come from. But there's 7 colors of the rainbow. And from those colors are all of the colors that they have. They, you know, and nowadays they have thousands and thousands of shades of different colors. And I mean, you can go for white. Say if you go to the paint store for white, they can have 100 shades of white. It's amazing. But those primary colors of what's in the rainbow, and those each one of those colors have a meaning. They have a meaning, what they represent. And I looked at them, but I didn't bring them. But you can look it up. You can go online. But they actually, each one of those colors has a meaning. And they talk about it not just in Christianity or in religion, but other cultures also recognize those same things. But the primary colors we know are red, yellow, and blue. And then when he's talking about the rainbow, I'll let him say it here. Paragraph 49. When God gave Noah the rainbow sign, the 7 colors, it was a promise or a covenant one. See, God had made a covenant that he would destroy the world no more with water. And God's covenant was also carried over through Jacob into Joseph, Abraham. Abraham was election, and Isaac was justification. Israel was grace, and Joseph was perfection. That was the only one that had the colors. See, that was the only one that had the colors. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Joseph. Joseph was the one who had the colors. His father gave him that jacket, and that jacket it had no seams. In other words, like today they make clothes and they put all these pieces of cloth together and they sew them together and they call that a seam. This one, and I think Paul had one too. One was made for Paul one time. But this jacket, it was made of the rainbow colors and it had no seams. And Brother Branham talks about what those things, it talked about being sealed. And remember, he said he was a type of the Holy Ghost. And so these rainbow colors, they represent a covenant. And God used it over and over and over again. Again, when he was given a covenant, those colors would show up. And so when he had this perfect one here that was a type of the Holy Ghost, those colors had to show up. So we see Jesus sitting on the throne with the colors, rainbow around him. See, in Revelations 1, it was God's covenant with the people. And we see him in Revelations 10 with the rainbow, the covenant to the people of this last day. Here it is. Oh, how I want you to see this. Christ is God's covenant with his people. Not denominations, but Christ is God's covenant. See, as Joseph was hated, so was Christ hated today. They don't want to say they hate Christ, but their works prove that they do. Are you listening? They can even say they do, that they love him, but their works prove that they don't love him. They're against every move of him. Speak of his action, his works, his marvelous doings. Why, sure, we have Satan at the camp too, battling away. And that's the problem. They got Satan in their camp. They got Satan in their camp. But the bride has God in the camp. And that's exactly where Moab was. And they'll point to the words of Satan. See? But I don't care what Satan does to try to confuse. God's word stands perfect, and his promise is perfect. I never want to take sides with that group. And God never takes sides. And brother, somewhere here, Brother Branham was talking about that. We might not get to it tonight, and we don't may not need to. But Brother Branham made it clear, God never goes to those groups. Amen. He never goes to a denomination. He never goes to a church group. Never. Amen. Never has, never will. All the way through. He doesn't do that. He comes and he draws his bride to him. Amen. He draws the people to himself.
Right.
And he vindicates his chosen ones over and over and over. Notice there he was, the covenant. Christ was to look upon at as jasper and sardis stone in Revelation. Now, this is the colors he's getting in Revelation chapter 1, because he's talking about those birth stones. And each one of those stones was represented in the 12 tribes. And so he mentions the first and the last one. So he's all of it. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. That was the breaststone, or the birthstone, rather, from Reuben to Benjamin. See, that was the reflection of the sardis and jasper as they reflected together under the light of God, made the covenant around Christ, the rainbow. Praise God. And what does it speak of? Reuben the oldest, Benjamin the youngest. From first to the last, he was the one that was, which is, and shall come. The root and the offspring of David. He's the morning star. He's the A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega. God's reflection from the beginning of time to the end of time. There he is. God's covenant with his people. That's him. He's the covenant. It's him, himself. See? And all these other things, Joseph, David, all the prophets, was just a reflection. Amen. Reflecting from the true seed, from the Garden of Eden, till the time that he shall come the second time in glory to receive his people and his church. There it is. Beautiful to look upon. Praise be to God. Always in that rainbow. Always that covenant is represented there. Joseph, his brothers, were arrogant with him. They hated him without a cause. Hold that. Without a cause. They, see, because he was supernaturally inspired. You get it? Cain hated Abel without a cause because of being supernatural inspired. That's right. Moab hated Israel without a cause because they had divine healing and signs and wonders, miracles. Hated him without a cause and wouldn't let him pass through the land. Oh my. Think about it. Without a cause. That's Satan. It's that jealousy. That's the problem. It's a bad way. Now, my beloved friends, I want to bring something to your memory. Now, I want you to put it down below the fifth rib on the left side in the tent of that compartment called heart. Never in any age or at any time that God ever inspired man did he ever go on the religious side, so-called religious people of the world. Never did he take up with denominations. Always he stood out against and against the denominations of the day, against the religious order of the day. I didn't realize it was right here, but show me one prophet, show me one time through the Bible that any man of God ever coped with the so-called religious moves of his day. Amen. No, they go. He comes with the word. He is the word. He brings the covenant, and the people come to that. That's right. And so coming all the way through from Adam all the way down to this last day. And in this last day, after that seventh age finishes, after that baptism was returned in its correct form, in its correct order, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then where does it go? All of it's finished. It's all finished. And then it's Christ alone. It's Christ alone standing there, the fullness of the word, the fullness of the spirit, becoming one with the bride.
That's right.
Becoming one. and vindicating and proving that there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing. Brother Branham said there's only one way you'll come today. Only one way you can come today. And he said that is by revelation. It's by revelation. Him revealing himself to you. There's nothing you can do. There's no works you're going to do. There's no ordinances you're going to do. All of those things were a shadow.
Yes, sir.
There's no way that you can come. Just as he said it plainly, as plain as it could be said, in invisible union. When he said the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today.
Right.
No more than Moses' law would have worked in the days of Paul. You couldn't have brought that over into Paul's day.
Right.
And you can't bring the church ages, the blood covenant, over into the spirit covenant.
Amen.
This is the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the bride. That was the blood covenant. Christ was sitting there as a mediator, mediating for the people. Mediating over and over and over again for what they didn't know.
Right.
But then he came and revealed to them all. Yep. Took the veil off of God.
Amen.
He took the book and revealed all about redemption.
Right.
That's what your seal book is. It's the revelation. Those seven seals was revealing the book of Revelations. I mean, revealing the book of redemption.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, the book of redemption is your Bible. It's the Bible. And that Bible is the Word of God. And that Word of God is just not the word for back there. It's every word that God spoke. Not just the written word. It's also the spoken word. And that's why it continues on and continues on. And so it just keeps going. That's why some people, if they can't find it between those two covers, the front and the back cover of their Bible, they're done. They won't go no farther. Unless Satan gives them something like the book of the Maccabees or some other false something that is not, God didn't speak. No. The spoken word is the original seed. Oh, let's see. All right, I'm at the message, Uncertain Sound, and now let me just read maybe I know we're running out of time here, but let me just maybe read one more paragraph here, and I know everybody's worked, we all worked, I worked, but this is it's good. It's good. I know you think, I'm paragraph 71 now, I know you think I'm crazy, but some of these days at the judgment bar when I stand there by your side, you're going to find different. Now's the time. Don't wait till there, see? It'll be too late. Judge it with the word, see? If it's the right, you'll know. Then you'll know, see? Intellectual, they don't want somebody to really stand up and pull the scripture out and show it. Listen to this, and this is one reason I didn't want to leave this off, because this, we know this is so true, and we've talked about it before, but our brother Goomba and I talked about this many times. Here's what they want. They want somebody that's trained to bypass it. They don't want to know that. Oh, they just can't stand it. I'm telling you, we went through that not too long ago. Listen to a preacher sit there and preach, think that he's the only one or the most purest preacher because he's reading it out of the book and not off. He thinks this is wrong. Thinks this is wrong. But reading out of the book is the right way. That's the ordained, and that's where he feels like that's what's making him right, because he's reading it right out of the book. And I'm thinking, that's a carnalist thing, that it's the same word. If you read it off a computer, or you read it off a book, or you listen to it on the tape, it's the same word all the time.
Yep.
But what this man had a gift. He had a gift. Because he didn't like any controversy, and he didn't want no differences. He didn't want no fuss, and he didn't want no arguing. So, and he didn't think that the people should be hearing these controversial things. That was our last words with him. That we told him, said, "Brother, can we just come together and have a men's meeting and talk about these things?" He said, "It's not for the congregation. This is just for the ministers." I said, "There's the problem. There's a problem right there. Be preaching along. Get right up." And you know, there's some books that you've read enough that you know when he starts to, or you've listened to it enough, when he's building up to something, you know what he's fixing to say. Yep. You know, if I read, "If you turn and look at the clock," yep, "you could finish the sentence," mm-hmm, right? You could finish the sentence. You know what he's going to say. Right. And so there's places like that in Anointed Ones at the End Time and Christ the Mystery of God and Invisible Union. Yep. I could say the word that fell on the opinion, you could finish the sentence. You know, he had a gift that he could come right up to it and then turn the page. I never caught this before. You know, I always thought how they're so intellectual, they can explain it away. And they do. But here he's saying their gift is to bypass it. Yep. They just bypass it. They just leave something off or they add something else. Uh-huh. They want somebody that's trained to bypass it. See? They don't want to know that. Oh, they just can't stand that. That's right. Why? Because Satan is right there in their midst. He's right there in their midst helping them bypass it because they don't want all of it. Something about the bride, it don't matter if it cuts her flesh. No matter how it cuts, she wants it. Amen. She wants it no matter what. She wants the truth. That's what's wrong with this nation right now. They don't want truth. They don't want reality. They don't. They literally are convincing themselves of things that are just insanity. That are just. I don't need to get on that because you know, you can finish my sentences. It's so bad out there now. It's just so bad out there. But it's getting worse. And this is something else I can't help say it because it's so ridiculous. And these colleges, all of this carrying on that's going on, and you know, a lot of them, they're out there and they're just the Palestinian this and this and this and this, Israel this. There's a lot of them standing out there and they don't have a clue what's going on.
That's right.
Those reporters are asking those people, "Why are you here?" And they're like, "Oh, we're just supporting it." But why are you here? What's the issues here that's going on? What's this protest about? They literally don't know.
That's right.
College students. Yeah. Something that these children could probably tell you better. They're there in the college. They're there in the protest. And they can't answer the question with any intelligence whatsoever.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. It's just gone. It's gone. Fishes and loaves is fine. Oh, yeah, that's right. But Jesus done the same thing. What a wonderful prophet. And that the little prophet of Galilee was healing the sick. He was a great man. But one day he sat down and began to pour the truth to them. The whole group walked up and left him. Huh? And even the 70, they went. And he turned to the 12 and he said, "Do you want to go?" That's when Peter made those notable words and said, "Lord, where would we go?" Certainly then he began from that very hour. You listen? From that very hour. Long as he was healing the sick, it was fine. But when he went to interfering with their individual life, then that said something different. See, from right there, his ministry began to diminish. This same thing, brother, sister, is what happened with our prophet. And he prophesied it before it happened. He said, "Now you watch." Now he said, "Things are going to go back. He said, "There's going to be a pulling away now." And that's what he was talking about. That's what happened. See? For right there, his ministry began to diminish right on to the cross. See? And every true servant of God will follow the same example, certainly. The people wants to be patted and played with. But when it comes to truth, they don't want it. No, remember, these tapes going around the world. That's right. Education, I'll say this. That education has been one of the most damnable things that the gospel's ever received. And today's education is a must. That's right. You must have it. Look at Cain's children at the beginning. Cain's children were smart, scientists. See, could temper metal, build buildings and so forth. They were scientists, but Seth's children were humble sheep herders. So I'm going to stop right there. But what's he saying? He's saying that education has been totally against God. He said it's the biggest detriment to the revelation because it's taken the people away. He said, but you got to have it. You need it. You need to be able to read and write. You need to be able to cope in the society today. But whatever you do, don't go to one of those colleges. Don't go to one of these liberal colleges. I'm telling you, it's terrible, terrible. Praise be to God. Let us stand together. Amen. Oh my. Brother Goomba, will you come? Praise be to God. So good to see each one. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. I think we're just going to pray. The sermon was great. Those things were said. I didn't have my, I don't know why it didn't come to my, it's not coming. We start today and I started, it's not coming to my computer, not to my iPad. Maybe, I don't know. Last time I made my quotes as he preached. That's all right. You're going to say to Brother Michael. But I followed you, brother. I followed everything. You know what I do? I just go to the books and I get it. When you say, when you're talking, I search it, I bring it, and I make my quotes. But today I went to the groups, and I went and I got the PDF, and I opened it. It is not marked like red, blue, but it's good. So I followed it like that. Now, if there's anybody, I think what you're gonna do is to make sure that you are in the emails that are sent to you. Maybe mine is not there, or mine is kept or something. Maybe you go to if you're not receiving it, if you're not getting it, make sure that maybe you can talk to Brother Michael so that you can have it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, brother. About the the rainbow and things like that. Those are very good things when you learn them. The rainbow is always a sign of covenant, and that was a sign of a covenant because that was a perfect one, and this one is a perfect one that has come in this age with a new covenant. This covenant angel and had a cloud over his head and a rainbow. He said that was a covenant. That was a new covenant. You know, testaments are covenants. Testaments, the Old Testament is a covenant, the New Testament is a covenant, and now this is a covenant. Now, that was finished. The Old Testament was done away with. It was finished. That covenant was done. It was finished. Now, this is a covenant, the New Testament is another covenant. It's finished. Now, that mighty angel came to show this is completely a new covenant with a new people.
Amen.
A new creation completely. And that's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's great, that's good. So let's pray. I know, as Brother Don said, we are tired, we've been working hard, and America is eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. And everything is running. And that's good, that's good. Because you get used to and that's good. So, but all the same, as Brother Don said, we got to give God His time. You got to get time.
Amen.
With God. Because that kind of life takes your mind. In fact, they say in America is like another wife. You know, the Bible said somebody who doesn't have a wife is more dedicated to God than the one who has a wife, or something of that.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible said. Because you got to give. That does not mean that you don't go to God because you have a wife, but you give sometimes to your family. But somebody like Paul gave all that he had to God. Here you have kind of many wives, because you have your wife, you have your family, maybe children, then you have a job, you have your bosses, you're really turned around, and everything is a very serious standing. So sometimes our minds are taken away from the main thing, from
Amen.
The one that is supposed to be number one,
Amen.
God. And coming here is good, going to church is good, some people don't go to church, but Brother Don, you said something that really touched me. You've got to have some times with God, not you with your wife,
Amen.
But you and God, the two of you. Somewhere, you give yourself time. Sometimes, be you and God somewhere. You make sure that you talk to Him. You have talked to Him, and He's talked back. And the prophet says, sometimes you talk so much to God, and we don't wait enough for Him to talk back. It's a conversation. He talks, you talk, and He talks. You talk, and He talks, until you touch Him. Let's have that time. I know we are busy. We are all over. That's true, and we got to do that. As Brother Don said, you've got to have education. As a prophet, he read something like that. You've got to have education. But don't let that education do what is doing to the world. Have it under control. Have it and have God. Wherever it comes to, it's called collision with God. Leave it. Leave anything. You can leave education, you can leave anything, but cling to God. Have time. Brother, that's very important. Brothers, that's very important.
Amen.
You can be dry. You can be even alone. You are leaf. You love God so much. It's like some trees, some shrubs. The prophet says some shrubs in the desert. Those leaves, those thorns are not thorns. They were not made thorns originally. They were leaves that were helping that shrub. But now, because of the dryness, it is dried. Dried is become gone. You can become that. You don't have any sweetness. The joy of salvation is gone. You don't have it. But you're still a child of God. And you know what, Brother Lord, in the book called, and I'm not preaching this, I don't like talking here. In the book called Why Christ Speak, the prophet says, even in your position in God, you're a child of God, you know that. If you knew that, you'd do your best to stay there. Because if you move from there, you're giving God a very hard time. God will take time, because he must bring you back to Him, and yourself a very hard time. Because God has got to do something, bring you. You suffer, and God will also work to bring you. Because you must be here. In other words, you are God's child. God cannot get you lost. You cannot get lost. So He's got to work. So you're giving Him hard work.
Amen.
And you're also giving your hand. So the best thing is just surrender. Just surrender. Give yourself time as much as you have. Brother, sister, please talk to God. Have some time. Talk to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Always, Lord, when you gather together, you have something to tell us. And every time, Lord, is something that really touches our hearts, Father. Lord, when we say that we are thankful and that we appreciate, Lord, Father, is a realization that, oh Lord, you have a purpose, a certain purpose with us. And there's something that you are working on. There's an achievement you want. There's something that you want from us, Lord. There's a picture you want, Lord God, to see in us, Father. And we are so thankful that you are working. Not we doing anything, Lord. Because we even didn't know that these things existed, Lord. But it started like a mother starts teaching a child to walk. And like that, we wouldn't say that we are where we are supposed to be. But Lord, we are surely not where we started. You brought us somewhere, Lord, that our hearts are so happy, Father, with you. We are full of joy. And as we see you working on us, Lord, we are so happy, Father. Thank you, Father, for gathering us. Until we gather again under your feet, Lord, to hear you again, Lord, bless each one, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.